We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It was fun, obviously. You know, the goal is to make the playoffs and compete for a Stanley Cup every year. But, you know, I think that we have a motivated group in here of guys that want to win and want to be in the fight. So it's a big summer for everyone.
There's Bo Byram as the Sabres had locker clean out this week. The regular season is now done. We'll have playoff preview discussion with our Friday analyst, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, coming up later on in the show. But we'll put a wrap on the regular season. Talk Amerks as they continue to wind down their regular season with two massive games, including tonight, Blue Cross Arena, and of course on Sunday in Utica with Marty and Brian. And rather interesting development based on your prediction, Marty, that Vegas would cruise into the 2-3 matchup with Edmonton. And there was significant change at the end of the regular season as LA pulled a rabbit out of the hat and Vegas didn't quite have what they needed against the Ducks.
What's the old saying? Records are made to be broken. Well, predictions are made to be broken as well. You hope to be a little bit better than 50% when you predict things, right? And that's the good old weather people story is like, 50% chance of rain. There was 50% chance I was going to be right, 50% chance I was going to be wrong. Anaheim cruising to beating the Vegas Golden Knights, who did not look good. And I'm a little worried for Vegas because, you know, yes, they've been hurt all season. Well, most of the season, they've missed some players. Aiden Hill did not look really good and comfortable in that game. Who did he start in game one? And now, instead of facing the Edmonton Oilers in the first round, they are facing the Dallas Stars, which face Dallas or face the Oilers, it's fine. It's the fact that if the Vegas Golden Knights want to repeat as Stanley Cup champions, they are going through the toughest division with Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg. So they're going to have to beat Dallas in the first round and beat the winner of Winnipeg and Colorado in the second round to try to get to the, the conference finals. So I think it's really, really daunting for Vegas right now, the position they put themselves in.
You think they wanted the matchup with Dallas instead of Edmonton?
Personally, I would say no.
Okay.
I'd say they wanted to finish, as high as possible, which would have been third in the Central Division. Instead, they end up moving in the other way around. In the Pacific Division, I should say. They were third in the Pacific, and then instead they worked their way into the Central Division playing Dallas. So, yeah, I think they wanted to finish third in the Pacific.
What do you make of LA and Edmonton again?
Look, I said it yesterday because somebody asked me, do you think that the Edmonton Oilers are going to be cheering for the LA Kings to win and Vegas to lose and whatever? I'm like, be careful what you wish for. LA, their defensive structure, Anze Kopitar, Philip Deneau, Drew Doughty, I could be a little trouble for the Oilers if you hope that your big guys are going to lead the way. I know it's McDavid, Dreisaitl, Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, whatever. But for me, the Oilers, their depth is what's better. Now, they got Kane, Perry, Fogel. They've got good players in their depth that has helped them. So I think the Oilers beat the LA Kings, but it's not as easy as in they're going to sweep or win in five. I think it's going to be a little harder than that. But LA, good for them, right? They made a coaching change. Quinn Byfield finally scored another goal. Good for him last night to get a goal and maybe get some momentum before the playoffs. But LA is not going to be an easy out for the Oilers.
Okay, well, I didn't want to get too far into the playoffs. Like I said, we'll do that with Shayna at the bottom of the hour. But from a regular season, putting a bow on things standpoint, there's a minor thing in your craw today, and that is that Laurent Brossoit does not get to share the Jennings.
Yeah, I'm all mad with goaltenders and what happened last night and during the season. Listen, great year for the Winnipeg Jets defensively. Connor Hellebuyck and Laurent Brossoit were fantastic all season long. They win the Jennings Trophy. I get it. When I was with the Buffalo Sabres when we won the Jennings Trophy in 2000-2001, I believe. And it was Dominic Hasek, right? Like, Dom was the guy. That's the reason why we win the Jennings Trophy. And I didn't play the 25 games. I didn't get the bonus. I had a bonus for major awards in my contract. I didn't get the bonus, but that's fine. Like, it was all about Dom. But this is different here. I think Laurent Brossoit playing 23 games, 22 of those starts, had a big impact on if the team is going to win the Jennings Trophy, which is given to the lowest goals allowed after 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's played. He didn't just play 5 games. He didn't just play 10 games. He played 23 games. That's enough for me to say you have an impact, and now his name's not going to go in the trophy. The rule when they did the Jennings Trophy, because it used to be the Vezina Trophy was given to the lowest goals against team, which mm-hmm. is why when the Sabres won it with Sauvé and Edwards, mm-hmm. they were both on the trophy, on the Vezina Trophy. It changed. The Vezina Trophy became to the best goaltender voted by the general managers, and the Jennings Trophy is to the lowest goals allowed in a season. But there was always the, you have to play 25 games. Okay, because back in the days when Patrick Roy and Andre Rasico won it almost every year, they played, Patrick played 50 and Rasico played 32. It was like almost a split. But now it's not that case when you look at the way the goalies play. And I think playing at least 15 games should be good enough to win the Jennings. So I'm a little upset about Laurent Brossoit not getting a recognition on the trophy long term.
Anything else on your mind from the regular? What?
I'm almost also upset with the way that the Edmonton Oilers handled their goaltending last night against Colorado.
Yes.
So they go into their last game of the season, a game that doesn't mean anything to the Edmonton Oilers. They don't have Evan Bouchard, Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid. They're not dressing them. And they play against Colorado in Colorado. And they're going to put Stuart Skinner, your number one goaltender, in the net to face this onslaught. It was 3-0 9 minutes in. It was 4-0 like quickly. And, after 12 shots and 4 goals, they pull Stuart Skinner. That's the way you want him to go into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying, hey, why don't you go face McKinnon? And Colorado didn't rest anybody. They played all their team. And look, Chris Knobloch had to know that was going to happen. So I don't like how Edmonton handled their last few games and throwing Stuart Skinner into the fire like this right before the playoffs were going to start.
You're bothered by it.
I'm extremely bothered by it.
Does it bother Skinner?
I can't. No, you can say that. That's fine. It's definitely in the back of your mind. There's different levels of it, but nobody likes to get pulled. Nobody likes to get lit up.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it's game one of the season or game 82. Like, it's maybe a little easier to say, I didn't have my guys in front of me. It will be different game one of the playoffs when we play the LA Kings. But I just don't like how they treated them in that situation.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm not prone to doing that with you. So,
hey, this is a new day. It's playoffs. We agree. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know where you are, but it's gray and miserable here in the Flower City, let me tell you. A lot of rain.
It's gray and miserable here in the
Queen City.
The Queen City of Buffalo and in the South Towns especially.
Well, I'll say this. It was pretty cool just to see everything wrap up last night. Kucherov, of course, has the scoring title. Matthews has the Rocket. I got to say, and you know, I try not to spend an extraordinary amount of time talking about Matthews or the Leafs, but the whole problem with like hockey discussion in Toronto, and it's always been this way, right? Like, even when something is good, they make it negative. And after that Tampa game the other night, when he had 12 shots and 16 shot attempts, all you can read anywhere is Matthews
failed. Bills. Yes.
It's like, stop with the negative wraparound of his season. Like, oh my God, how do you not celebrate 69? Like, you know, just misses 70 or something, but still sets like, I get it. The details are in the story, but people see headlines, and I hate it when that's the focal point of a truly spectacular season.
Artemi Panarin's at 49 goals, 120 points. Has anybody in New York said Panarin fails to get to 50? No, he didn't fail to anything. He scored 49 goals. And yes, getting 50 would have been great, but he got 120 points. What a season by Artemi Panarin. There's been so many of those stories. Yeah, I get the whole he failed to get to 70. He had two games to get
short,
it done.
Doesn't come through, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my gosh. Okay, anyway.
And he had his best success late in the year with Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi as his winger. And Max Domi did not play the last few games, just, you know, managing a little soreness or whatnot to be ready for game one. I think Matthews will be fine for game one in the playoffs, although I don't know. Not sure that it's going to be a long playoff. I'm looking at the playoff odds. This is interesting. And we'll talk to Shayna about this. The Boston Bruins are a minus 120 to win the series, and Toronto's an even plus 100. And I'm like, I think this is a definite Boston Bruins win, but that's just the way I look at it. So it'd be interesting to see how Shayna sees it, because I think that Vegas, the odd makers, have Colorado favoring against Winnipeg, and they have Boston really close against Toronto, where I have Boston beating Toronto handily, and I have Winnipeg winning against Colorado. So I'm on the other side of those two. I'm interested to see what Shayna is going to say about that.
Yeah, I'm feeling like we need to like break early and get maximum time from Shayna today, but we'll do our best here. Quickly, before we transition to the Amerks, Blue Cross Arena tonight, can't wait to see you here because, you know, they can't nail down first outright tonight, but they could certainly put themselves in the driver's seat with a win over Cleveland. But we'll discuss that a little further here coming up. But it's going to be cool for the Amerks to have a big crowd here tonight, and then we'll see how the weekend plays out and whether they land number one in the North. But just to kind of wrap from Sabres locker cleanout, and also whether you've heard anything else from your colleagues, anybody else in the business as far as, you know, names of note in the coaching search or anything else from yesterday's, you know, day-long, second day of player interviews on their way out. What was, if any, news takeaways from the last 24 hours for you?
Well, today is an interesting day because a lot of teams are talking, teams that, like the Sabres did it right away. They ended on Monday, boom, Tuesday they're talking, the Don Granato news happened. A lot of teams ended on Wednesday night, Thursday is a quiet day, they talk on Friday. So now what we're hearing is St. Louis Blues are going to conduct a full coaching search. Even though Drew Bannister did well, they want to go over a lot of candidates. And Doug Armstrong even said, well, it's going to take a little while because some of the candidates I want to interview are still coaching right now in the playoffs. I'm like, whoa, that is a big statement, right? To say it out loud like this. The Pittsburgh Penguins, Kyle Dubas said he will sit down with Mike Sullivan and discuss the staff, the coaching staff. I think there's still a lot that's going to happen. So I know Kevin Adams said he wanted to start right away, but I still think there's a lot of moving pieces. The New Jersey Devils are in the same boat. So there's a lot of moving pieces, and we're getting a better sense of what teams are going to do now. When it comes to the Sabres specifically, look, I like what Owen Power had to say. I like that he talked about quickness, explosiveness, because I thought it was lacking in his game a little bit this year, especially early in the season. So those are individual stuff that I thought were good to hear again from some of the players that are saying next year when they show up to camp, things are going to be different, taking some ownership and accountability for the lack of success this year.
Right. And Matias Samuelsson, of course, and I don't want to say easy to forget, but when you consider that you had the Byram trade and a lot of people looked at Byram coming in and it was a talking point, you know, the fact of the matter is the Sabres played a ton of games this year without Matias Samuelsson, who looks to, you know, kind of remake himself a little bit in order to be there more often next year. Here's Matias.
It was tough. I can't lie to you, it's probably the hardest mental year of my career so far. And you know, definitely had the injury bug here the last couple of years. And, you know, I mean, I could flip and I could go 5 years now and play all 82 for 5 years. So, you know, just trying to stay positive, train a little different this summer. But, I mean, everyone says that injuries, they suck. And when you're not around the group for that long and miss out on everything, it's hard. It's really hard. And definitely struggle with it this year.
The one thing, though, that I've liked here in the last couple of years under Don Granato is the accessibility for players who aren't in the lineup. You know, we have seen guys around more than, and this is not just a Buffalo thing. I mean, I've been, you know, between the two of us, we've been around this for a long time. Like sometimes when guys are injured, like you never, ever, ever see them. And I think the beauty of this young group is they still like being around one another. And there is again, just an openness like, yeah, like be here, be on the bench and pregame skates and things yeah. like that. And I think it just adds to the depth of the relationships that these guys have, which, of course, as I sit here at Blue Cross Arena, for many of them, it started here. So I love that. But it's also, I think, like any person, there's more thoughtfulness on every matter. The older that you get, that you have more to work with when processing why stuff happens, why it may not. And I thought Samuelson was very reflective there.
Very reflective. The injury bug is not easy to deal with. It can put you in a really bad place. And I think he's handled it as much as well and as much as he can. But he's a glue guy. And there's those guys that are that bring everybody together. And he's one of them. Like we ran this little silly thing about he and Jack Quinn playing Mario Kart, right, on Nintendo 64. And he was funny and he was interesting and the guys all love him. And the same thing with him being, you said, on the bench during pregame skate, making little comments. Like he's a glue guy. And I know that he hasn't been playing every game the last few years and he's been hurt and it's obviously unfortunate, but he's a, when in the locker room, he's a definitely a big glue guy and it makes a difference.
What do you envision now out of Samuelson amidst the group that they currently have? And again, this is all unknown based on the fact that there will be a new head coach. Do you have any interesting, different projections already as to how this group could be paired up, so to speak?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I think Sammy in my top six defense core is a third pair guy. And it's not because he can't play in the top four. I think what you have to do is number one, use him in the most effective situations, which obviously the penalty kill is big for Matthias Samuelson and more of a defensive role type of guy. But also I think you got to start managing his minutes until he gets over the hurdle of saying, okay, I'm good now. And the injuries are what it is. You block a shot, prospect camp or rookie camp or whatnot, and you miss a long time and it's going to happen. But I think now you got Power, you got Dallin, you got Byram. That's three out of four in your top four, in my opinion. And maybe it's Yoki Aryu in the top four. Maybe it's somebody else, but I think Sammy would be more benefiting from being in the third pair. And I think of Matthias Samuelson like a Mark Stahl type of guy. I played with Mark Stahl in New York, right? Mm-hmm. And Mark Stahl could play top four. Mark Stahl was playing with Dan Girardi. And then all of a sudden he got hurt and Ryan McDonough came in and Mark Stahl was like, well, I'm not on the top pair anymore, but I can be effective somewhere else. And he was a third pair guy and he was very effective.
And he's still playing.
And he's still playing. And he's got one eye that he can barely see out of because he took a puck to the eye because of injuries. He adjusted his role and what he's doing and his effectiveness, but he's still playing. Mm-hmm. I think I see Samuelson as a Mark Stahl type of guy that you could play in the top four, but you're probably going to be better used for us in the bottom four and the bottom pair, which can still work for Samuelson. He's not making $7-8 million a year. A $4 million defenseman could be a third pair guy, a penalty killing guy, a shutdown guy. It's not overpaying for that guy.
He'd be a number seven in Vegas at that price.
Well, That's because everything is more expensive in Vegas.
No, they like their defensemen, and they've got a lot of them locked up, and I think it's effective. The question is, can they get the saves and get health for Vegas? And we'll talk more about that coming up. But, I feel like, you know, now I'm just way more interested in asking you bigger questions about the defense and how it could be changed in an effort to bolster the top nine. Do you envision a trade of some of the people we just mentioned in that group of six?
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I think the one player you could look to move may be Yokiaru, just because I think he finished really good, but now you're moving a right-hand shot again, and now you're putting yourself in lefty, you know, Dalene, lefty Power, lefty Byram, lefty Samuelson, lefty Ryan Johnson. And you're like, what do you do? You got all these lefties. Although it's not that big of a deal, but in the perfect world, you'd want to at least have two, maybe three right-handed shots.
This or that, left, right, or face-offs, which matter most?
I'm going to say left, right matters a little bit more than face-offs. Do we agree again?
100%.
We're two for two today.
What a day. Mark it down. Put that April on a 19th, t-shirt. 2024. We agree.
Put that on a t-shirt. We agreed twice on four. What is today's date? The 18th, the 19th, 4/19/2024.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I'm sitting here, you know, talking about this because now I've talked myself into it. I just think they're at a point, and it feels like it based on the general manager's comments, you know, of the urgency, the recognition of where they're at, where they have to get to this coming season. So I don't think they're going to be shy of making a significant trade. So I think it's easier perhaps to look at where they are perception wise, depth wise, which is the blue line, very strong. But then the other part of it is, and this is a discussion that everybody wants to have with this team, will they move prospects and picks also, right? Because, like, I'm sitting here in Rochester, we have Noah Östlund playing his first game as an Amerik tonight, mm-hmm. right? We've just seen Anton Wahlberg come in late in the year, and I would say be pretty seamless, right? Rusek has just come down from the Sabres. Yes, there are still injuries, but just in Rochester alone, let alone the junior ranks and the global ranks and the draft coming up, of which they have all the picks, all their, you know, expected picks. I think people are, again, based on comments this week, there's a heightened urgency to this conversation, or an appetite, pardon me, for this conversation, because the reality is they are still flush with picks and prospects.
Yeah, and then if you look at Kevin Adams, he has now been the GM since, 2021? So it's been like 3 years?
It's 4 years.
It's been 4 years. Okay, 2020. It's been 4 years. He made a bold decision to say, we're moving on from Don Granato, and we got to go in a different direction. The window is open. This is our time. I also think that bold decisions, especially when it comes to prospects and draft picks, are going to be on the table now to say, how do we make ourselves better? Buying somebody out. Like, because in the end, I mean, that you like it or not, as a general manager, once you guys start going down these steps, the spotlight becomes on you. I said that for like Rob Blake in LA. Once he fired Todd McLellan and made the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade and all of that, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, boop, it's on you, right? That's just the way that it is. How Tom Fitzgerald in New Jersey fired his coach and didn't address the goaltending until late. Now, all of a sudden, whoop, the spotlight is on you. I think that's the same thing for Kevin Adams. But mm-hmm. that's why the desperation, and I don't want to call it negative desperation, but sometimes it's a positive desperation. Mm-hmm. It gets you to do something that maybe you wouldn't have done a year ago, but you'll do it now. I think maybe more on the table and in the cards when it comes to prospects and picks and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and just looking at tonight from an Amerik standpoint, the fact that Östlund, you know, he's been here for a little bit. He's had some opportunity to practice and pregame skate and all that. He's coming in to play with the two hottest offensive players on the team and the two most talked about prospects the past year, which are Jiří Kulík and, of course, Isaac Rosén.
Yep.
Like, what a nice fit. You know, he's been traditionally a center, but Seth Appert said this morning, like, he's not worried one bit. This kid, and we've seen him, especially in World Juniors, you know, he's just has great intelligence when it comes to the game. So nice opportunity if you're coming down to see that unfold tonight. Wahlberg continues to play with the veterans and Yops and Mersch. And with Rusek back and probably a little bit more time to rest over the last couple of days after a bit of a whirlwind, you know, you end the year road, come back way early in the morning from Tampa and all that. But I mean,
yep.
Rusek with Byro and Weisbach could very well be like the line that does most of the damage when the playoffs begin. Right. So this is exciting. Well, like it's just adding to, I don't know, the assessment people will have of, okay, where are these prospects at? Who can push whom? And if they're not ready, then what decisions get made?
Prospects in the AHL are great because they are moving on to your NHL team. You want them to get the experience. But when you get to playoffs in the AHL, the veterans, your players that have been there a long time, are the one that usually make the difference. Like, look at Hershey and Coachella last year, right?
Yeah. But how did Jiří as a rookie start the playoffs last year with a 6-game goal scoring streak?
But
unbelievable. Yes.
That's exciting. That's great. But the teams that Roch, unfortunately, did not win it last year, right?
Yes.
Because the veterans are the ones that over 4 series and the travel and all of that, they're the one that make the difference. The older team usually shine through. That was the case with Hershey, Coachella Valley, Chicago for many years. Like, that's Carolina. I had an older team in Charlotte. That's the way it works.
Veteran reporter, veteran of many Fridays on Sabres Live, Shayna Goldman is next. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shayna Goldman with us from The Athletic here on our Friday Sabres Live show, and the playoffs are upon us, Shayna.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Starting tomorrow. So, with that being said, we give you 30 seconds to recap or point out something from the regular season that needs, you know, kind of your punctuation mark on it.
The NHL got the scheduling completely and totally wrong all season, but it is nice to know they know how to make it work when it matters. And that is the biggest takeaway from the regular season to the playoffs. We have staggered starts. We have, you know, few overlapping games. We're barely watching intermissions. Like, this is what we need. Like, let's ride. I am hyped.
Shayna, I should say thank you for the hat. And, you know, I'll make sure that Duffer and Jeff get theirs. And the scrunchies, they're fantastic. So I'll be wearing mine around Buffalo. They're going to say, what is this? And I'll point them right to you guys. Which I did like the last few days of the regular season. All the games that mattered somehow started at the same time. So I was like, this is great because nobody knows what's happening. Like, the fact that Detroit scored with 3 seconds left and Torts didn't know that he didn't have to pull his goalie, but still pulled his goalie, which allowed Washington to score. I love the drama of the same time. But when it's November, December, yeah, a staggered start. In playoffs, we're going to get staggered starts, so it's great. Okay, now you got your 30 seconds. We move on. Playoffs. Who is or is there a clear-cut favorite? Because I look at the odds, right? And I'm thinking, I have all the higher seed winning in the first round. But Vegas has Colorado favored to beat Winnipeg. It has Boston barely, you know, a very close favorite to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm like, how can they see that? Am I crazy? Like, I think Winnipeg and Boston are going to win, and Boston's going to crush Toronto. But that's just the way I see it. What do you think?
It's really tough. I think with Boston, Toronto, there's that vibe factor that maybe should make it a little further apart than what the numbers say. Because, like, on paper, you have the high-end offensive you know, Toronto Maple Leafs against the defensive Bruins, who you pick their goalie tandem any day of the week. Pick a goalie. It's better than anyone the Leafs have combined, right?
Yeah.
I get why it's a tight series in theory. And also, I feel like I'm on like my Bruins hate tour, and I apologize for this. I feel like I've been just crushing them every time I get the chance to talk about them, but I just don't think that they dominate the way I'd want a contender to. And I look at some of the gaps up front, and it's what gives me a little bit of pause. So I get why that's close. But Winnipeg, Colorado is such an interesting one, because if you look at the game last week, you're like, it's fine. Winnipeg has this in spades. But I do think the series is closer. There's something about the Avs' star power that we can't overlook. And I do like their depth additions. It's just the goaltending. If it comes down to goaltending, we know goaltending can win a series. It's going to the Jets every day of the week. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this one is going to be close. Like, that's when I'm like, okay, it's a coin flip for me.
Well, let's go rapid fire and start with the first out of the blocks tomorrow. And Islanders, Carolina, this is open for both of you guys to discuss. Shayna, obviously you get first word and everything, though. Right. So Islanders, Carolina, and expectations, whatever. Minor storyline, major storyline, what do we see?
How funny would it be the year the Canes finally do what we've all been asking them to do for years? Get someone finishing talent is the year that they lose in the first round. That would be too much for me. But to me, the Canes are dominant. Their system, it just works. They have the star power factor. Jarvis's breakout year. The goaltending looks great. The Islanders are so much better defensively. And we're going to be talking about the Patrick Waugh effect all postseason long. And we should be, right? It's so interesting how much better they are defensively since he took over. It feels like the Islanders are a team that have the potential to do damage once they get into the playoffs, right? Like, we know that they thrive in that kind of environment, but I think it's a little more mismatched than it was last year because the Canes are that much better.
Okay, so Carolina, for me, the two players that will make a difference is Andrei Svechnikov and Jake Guentzel. Last year, they did not have Svechnikov in the playoffs, and Max Pacioretty, who was supposed to be their goal scorer, was injured again. So they were minus those two players. This year, they have Svechnikov, they have Guentzel, who had a fantastic 17 games played, 8 goals, 17 assists, like 25 points. Unbelievable ending to the season with them. But when I was a kid, Duffer and Shayna, we used to have the big colored TV that was that big block of wood with the TV in it, like on the floor, right? And when the Quebec Nordiques were playing in the playoffs and then the Canadians were also playing, my dad would pull out the old black and white TV from the basement and set it on top, and we'd have the Canadians game on top and the Nordiques on the bottom. Well, the Islanders Carolina is the black and white TV for me. Like, it's going to be like my second and third screens. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not as involved into that series as I am in the other ones. I don't know, but that's just me.
I'm with you.
I'm not. I love it. I'm just teasing. I actually don't. No, it's fine. I'm good.
I'm not allowed to have too many Islander takes, you see. I'm the enemy of the Islanders fans, apparently, this year. Yeah. I've been the one that defends them forever when they're like, oh, Toronto media hates us. And then I'm like, well, here's the silver lining. Even though I'm not Toronto media, but like, hey, but this year I've become the true enemy to the point where people think I'm from Toronto now. I see it in the comments like, ah, people, Canadian media hates us. And I'm like, I'm from New York. And then that opens up another can of worms. So,
right. Well, Toronto's,
I have to keep my takes.
Yeah. Yeah. Toronto's on the docket, of course, tomorrow as well with Boston. So, Marty, you think it's going to be a short series?
I think it's funny that the odds right now for Boston winning in 5 is set at like plus 540. And for Boston winning in 6 is set at 520. And like, I would take those two. I think it's Boston in 5 or 6. I think it's Boston in 5 first. But I mean, this is great juice and great value if you're looking at a couple of plus 500 that may, one of them may hit. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I think if it goes 7, it goes to Boston. But I think Toronto might be able to win in 6.
But I agree. I think Toronto will win the series.
It's tough.
Yeah. Tampa and Florida is amazing. Like,
I am
so good.
Pumped. It gives you the new school, old school vibes more than any other series, right? Like, they're going to kill each other in the best way. But it that is such an exciting one. It's so funny because you have the Cinderella story of last year. Like, could that be the Lightning now all of a sudden? But with the Panthers, like, they've been favored all year, and it's for good reason. Mm-hmm. But the Lightning, you know, I'm more of a numbers person, but I like the vibes, and I like the they know what it takes narrative. They want to get past round one from last year. Victor Hedman's picked it up. Kucherov and Point are killing it. If Vasilevsky is on his game, Like, I am much more intrigued in this series. I want it to be a drag out fight. I want 7 games. I hope it's not blowouts back and forth, which I could see happening.
Mm-hmm. I have only one series this year in the first round going to 7 games, and it is Florida Tampa. And I agree. I think that Vasilevsky is definitely next factor. But Florida, man, like, if you roll out Barkov, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, you know, you got Bennett, you got Lundell. Like, I mean, Tampa doesn't have that depth anymore. Yeah. Like, they have their top guys, but they don't have the depth. I think Paul Maurice is going to manipulate that to his advantage. I think it's Florida in 7 for me.
Yeah, that's hard to argue. I really want to go with Tampa, but I'm just not sure they can get it done from a depth standpoint on the blue line. And, of course, this, you know, assumes Ekblad and the Panthers are what they should be, but we'll see. I love the idea of 7, though. You know, I have hearkened back to that first meeting they had 4 years ago often, and can't imagine it being much different than that this time around.
The biggest thing with that, this or that, guys, quickly, are we using the Battle of Florida, or do we use the Sunshine State Battle? Like, what? Like, what's the best name for the series?
Battle of Florida.
We have Battle of Ontario, Battle of Alberta. We have all of those, but
Battle of the Florida Men, I would also accept. But the Sunshine Battle, like, it's too many words.
Yes, it's very a mouthful for me as well.
Sunshine Series works for me. Washington and Rangers, the Battle of the Lindgrens, Shayna.
Yes.
Yeah, you have the two hottest goalies of the second half of the season, right? Charlie Lindgren's killing it. Igor Shesterkin, after I don't know what happened in January, suddenly remembered he's an elite goalie, and look at what he's done since. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm definitely going to watch for, my wild card in this series that I think could make it a shorter series than I already think it will be, is Filip Hedl. First and foremost, you have to hope he's healthy, because it's been a tough year. You don't want to see that for anyone. If he can play, especially on that top line on the wing, well, I guess they're really more of the 1B, but whatever.
Yeah.
With Zibanejad and Kreider, if he plays there, I think that is the key to the Rangers making this a very short series. Mm-hmm. He is such a good player. I think he's exactly what that line needs. And I love the idea of loading your forward group up with players who can play center. You look around the league at a team like Florida, right? Or, you know, a team potentially like New York, if they have, and Vancouver especially, if you have so many people who can play center, you can mix and match your lines and combinations you didn't, you know, most can't even dream of, because you have all these different options. I love that for them. So that could be what I think makes it potentially a 5-game series.
Rangers struggled with Pittsburgh 2 years ago and Louis Domingue with the spicy pork and rice or whatever he had before coming in late in overtime. They did not beat New Jersey last year, but they have learned and will make a quick work of the Washington Capitals. The Rangers in 5.
Yeah, I think Alexis Lafreniere is ready to have a large impact on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Colorado, Winnipeg.
I'm torn. This one's a coin flip for me. I haven't done my bracket yet, and I'm not doing it until my three dogs go, because if there's a consensus pick that they go with, I feel like I either have to listen or go against it. Like, sometimes they have wild cards. Like, Mika last year knew the Leafs were going to win. Zouk knew that the Panthers were going deep. So I have to listen to them a little bit on this series because I'm so torn. I feel like there are things that have been going wrong for Colorado in the last couple games, obviously besides last night, but that's not fair. And that does give me a little bit of pause. But I love the way the Avalanche leaned into their strengths, and their speed is what's going to really make this series interesting. I think that is their one true weapon that can really expose other teams. And it's not to say that the Jets don't have it. It's just that no one has it up and down their lineup like Colorado.
Okay. Hellebuck, Georgiev. I mean, you don't have to look any further than that. Like, that really is the bottom line here. I think we may see Justus Enninen in that series, because Colorado is going to be struggling to figure it out, and they may not trust Georgiev by game 3 of this series. So that's, I don't know. I see Winnipeg. I'm going to give them in 6, but I see Winnipeg winning this. And even if Colorado wins a couple, it's going to be a control city for Winnipeg.
I will go with Colorado. We need to pick up the pace if we're going to get them all in. Nashville and Vancouver, Shayna.
One of the series I'm most excited about. This one gives me upset potential, and it's not a knock at Vancouver. It is just all kudos to Nashville. When they turned around their game, they've become one of the best scoring chance teams and one of the best at limiting them against. Goaltending's clicking. I still think Vancouver might be the one to get it done, but I think this one, I definitely think, is going the distance.
Yeah, and Thatcher Demko playing a couple of games is going to help. I think if he's back to normal, Vancouver does it in six. But Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Juuse Saros, they could scramble things up.
Can Gus Nyquist continue his career year? If he does, Nashville can win the series. Vegas and Dallas, Shayna.
I'm disappointed this is round one. I was watching last night's game, like, please don't do this to me. This is my Western Conference dream. But if I can get Edmonton against Dallas, I'll be okay too. The wild card, health, of course, right? Is Mark Stone healthy enough to play? And I hate the discourse around it, like, oh, they're cheating again. I think there's a difference between being healthy enough to play game one of the playoffs versus game 82 of the regular season. And nobody knows what a spleen injury is like. So I struggle with that a little bit. The spleen discourse, it sends me. But Vegas is stacked. They have it, you know, a ton of matchup potential, like with Theodore and Hanifin and Petrangelo and Stone and Carlson. Like, I love everything about that. But the Stars have been my team to beat all year. They are stacked. Love their game. Jake Oettinger has finally added some consistency over this last month after struggling a lot this season. I feel like someone like Wyatt Johnston's going to become more of a household name in this series. Like, I'm ready for him to pick it up.
I would have picked Vegas 99 times out of 100 for that one because I don't like the Dallas Stars and like Shayna, who loves them. But I'm going to stick with Dallas. I think this is like my internal upset. I should pick Vegas, but Dallas is going to win. So I'm upsetting my own decision. So I'm picking Dallas in six.
Yeah, I'm torn too. I think Dallas is better than I give them credit for, but I'm going to go with Vegas. So on to LA and Edmonton, Shayna.
It's the Oilers series to lose right here. We've seen it before. I think in years past, I had more confidence in the Kings getting it done. I really like what Knobloch has done. You're seeing Ekholm Bouchard play so well together. McDavid and Draisaitl are clicking on different lines. You have the Zach Hyman factor. The big thing is, I know the Kings, we talk a lot about the 1-3-1 system. And for good reason, right? They've been so much better defensively, but their offense has trended in the wrong direction since they've picked up defensively. And I think that's going to help them slow down and try to contain McDavid. But if you're going to beat McDavid, you need to make them play defense, right? It can't just be you shutting them down and trying to play that style. You have to proactively push it against it. And I just don't think they have it.
So the Oilers are going to win, but it's not going to be because McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman and Nugent Hopkins and Bouchard are going to light it up. It's because Perry, Kane, Fogle, McLeod, these guys are going to help supporting them. And that's going to be the key that's going to make the Edmonton Oilers beat the LA Kings is this one, despite the fact that the Kings with Kopitar, Deno, Doughty, like, I think they're going to push back a lot.
I want to be wrong, but I think the Oilers will win this series. Will Utah make the playoffs in their first season? Shayna.
Yes, they're going to be a wild card team. They have the potential to put together a really cool roster, which I'm going to try to build next week. And I want to see how good that they can be. It feels like they want to spend. And I like that. And I like some of the players there. You have Cooley, Michelli. Like, that's a nice supporting core to go around the Kellers and the Schmaltzes of the world. If you can actually add some impact players with that coaching, I could totally see it.
Not in year one, but in year two, yes. I think in year one, it's going to be a bit of a zoo and a circus in Salt Lake. It's going to be an adjustment, but in year two, they will make it.
10 seconds, Shayna. What's the team name?
Oh, God. I kind of like Hockey Club. I'm feeling
that
a
little bit. Oh, gosh.
The Yetis. The Yetis.
I'm disappointed. I wanted Salt Lake City.
Utah, Yetis. It's a mouthful, but I think the Yetis work.
Enjoy the playoffs, Shayna. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Now, what do you want to talk about, Marty?
Well, let's talk about. Well, let's talk about you.
Oh, gosh.
Let's talk about
Why?
Like your last couple of days here, and now
no
you're in Rochester for the game tonight. And
no one needs to know. I'm in Rochester.
You don't need to know, but I'm asking. You don't have to answer. Hey, have you listened to Taylor Swift's new album yet?
No, I actually didn't have time, i.e., actually slept more than I normally would last night. So yeah.
You're willing to open up. Like, that's not something that people would say, wonder if Duffer is sleeping more, but you opened up. I like it.
It's not even worthy of a measurement, but you got to take the wins where you can, right? So yeah, I'm a little short on time, but the beauty is it's almost 1 o'clock. The Amherst game here is not until 7. Despite the fact that Taylor just threw out like 900 new songs, yeah. I should have time to get through most of them. And the Tortured Poets.
Yeah, era. The Tortured Poets Society. That's all I'm calling it. Instead of the Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
It's a great flick.
Completely different. Honestly, what's your appetite for this weekend? And what are you really, really looking for?
I thought it was a rush job to start the playoffs on Saturday, but I like it now that we have it here. Like, don't wait until Tuesday and get going. So tomorrow after 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, Sunday, 4 games. Let's go. It's going to be a great weekend.
Also, do you have an internal clock on when you think the Sabres are going to have a new coach?
Well, I think it's going to be between 3 and 5 weeks from now.
Oh, I'm going to guess sooner. And on that note, we'll talk to you on Monday. See you then.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.